What? When you have your senior pastor as your husband, you never know what it is like. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. You sent forth your word, you healed us, and delivered us from destruction. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth this morning, thank you for illumination. Thank you for understanding. We bless your name, our Father. For in Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Praise God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Bible makes us to understand something was a common practice in the early church. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The first thing that made the first church outstanding, one of the things that was the pillar that made them to be outstanding, was the doctrine, the teachings, certain beliefs that were peculiar, that the people of God had to be taught. Beliefs, doctrine, it says apostles' doctrine. This morning we're going to look at one of those doctrines. And Paul said to Titus that he must do this. Acts chapter 2. Or before we look at Titus, do you know that Jesus Christ himself said it in Matthew chapter 28, towards the end? And that's one of the things that should characterize Matthew 28. Look at verse 19. One of the things that should characterize the church of Christ. If we gather around ourselves, you know, the first thing he said was apostles' doctrine. Even before prayer and fellowship and communion, apostles' doctrine. When we gather around ourselves without the doctrines or the teachings, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's like getting saved, confessing Jesus Christ. Then look at verse 20. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Then he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. One of the things that would help us to be who God wants us to be is to be taught. To come to church or wherever, and receive instruction, set of beliefs that is peculiar to the new life that we have found in Christ Jesus. When we don't do that, we tend to just continue the way we have always lived, perpetuate what we have always known, and we think it's just normal. But there is a place of being taught, and teaching is a continuous thing for us. Because we don't learn at once. We don't hear at once. All of us, we know that. By this time, I mean, we know. That's one of the reasons why we go through problems with our children. Because you say it again and again and again and again. I told you yesterday. I told you last week. They need to be taught. And when you say it again and again and again, they get to God helping them and helping us too. They get to catch on it. So this morning we're going to look at one of those things that Titus was commanded to teach. Titus was a pastor in a peculiar city. Like our nation today is very peculiar. Praise God. Very peculiar. We are known for all kinds of things. All kinds of things. All kinds of things. As Nigerians. But thank God that we are first of all not Nigerians. We are first of all believers. We are first of all children of God in Nigeria. And that makes a difference. And I'm prompted to do this thing this morning because we are older people, and the next generation, they are looking up to us, whether we like it or not. Our own children, children around us, children in church. When I say children, I don't mean 5-year-old or 6-7-year-old. No, I'm talking about the young adults, the next generation. They are looking up to us. And whatever we're able to teach and pass to them will be what we have learned, what we have been practicing ourselves. Otherwise, we'll not be able to hand it over to them. We'll not be able to pass it down. And what happens to our faith when we are gone? Who are the next generation of pastors, of leaders in the church, in the society? What would they be like? And that's what Paul told Timothy, that the things that you have learned from me, pass it to people who will be able to also pass it on. We hear about the mother of Timothy. I would say it's the faith that was in the grandmother to the mother, then now to Timothy. That's generations. God affecting generations. And by the grace of God, if the Lord tarries, we are living older and we would see the reward of what we have labored for. Amen. Positively, in the name of Jesus. So Paul was commanded, Titus was commanded to teach these things. Verse 2, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus 2:1, teaching them to observe all things. It says, as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. For sound doctrine. That means if there's anything like sound doctrine, then maybe unsound or imbalance, unhealthy beliefs and teachings. But there are some things that are called sound doctrine. And it says this, that the older men be sober. This doctrine, this belief. Sometimes we think that when you mention the word doctrines, it's about what you wear or what you don't wear. It's about what you put on or what you don't put on. And a lot of physical things have taken the place of the right doctrines. The right doctrines, the right set of teachings and beliefs that should be peculiar, that should be our practice as children of God. It says that older men, we are older men and women here this morning, must be sober. Let's just read through first. Reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Verse 3. The older women likewise. That means no one is left out. That they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things. Then verse 4 says, this is the main reason. It says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and other on and on. That is what we have learned and we practice. We must be able to pass it down to people around us, to our children, both biological and spiritual, wherever we find ourselves. Our nation, our community, the church today, we need older men and women. Thank God that, you know, Pastor just mentioned that elders are not just in this place, not just preaching team, not just because you have a title. You are an elder not just because you have become a deacon. You know, it's so easy to limit ourselves to titles, to offices. But we don't need a title. You just say older men. He didn't say just deacon or pastors, but older men. An older man is someone who has been in the faith for some time. That's what it means. Who is going through teaching, who has been taught, and is living the Christian life. So you are an older person in the Lord. If you have given your life to Christ in the last 5, 10, 20 years, you are an elder. It's not until you have the title or we consecrate you into the office of Then you now go around and say, now I'm a deacon, I'm a deaconess. No, beyond that, without the title, without putting you in a particular office, you are an elder. And God reckons with you that you are older person in the faith. And so, as an older person, there are certain things that Titus was asked to teach these people, to enforce. And he said that the older men be sober. That's the starting point. That they be sober, that they be reverent, and to be temperate. Sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. That's what God demands or expects. That by reason of our experience working with him, by the reason of being saved for some time, that this should manifest in our lives. That we are sober people. The word sober means to have restraint, to be self-controlled. That's what it means. To exercise restraint. That's one of the things that should characterize our lives as older people. That we just don't do whatever anybody is doing. We just don't do things just because everybody is doing it, or I just feel like doing it, or I can't. No. Self-control, self-restraint is one of the things that God expects us to develop as we walk with him day by day, month by month, year by year. That our lives is characterized by, we are not just flippant people. Live anyhow, talk anyhow, dress anyhow, eat anyhow. It's expected of us. It says they are sober. The another word says reverent. That word reverent is the same thing they use for reverend. In some places they call it venerable. That is a man of honor and dignity. That's what it means. You know, we think that it's office that commands it on people. You know, being a pastor does not make me a reverend. But become me a reverend person, then I become a pastor. It's not, I don't become a reverend because I have the title of a pastor or I'm a pastor. No, it's the way I carry myself, the way I live my life that should command the reverence or the respect or the honor that people give to me. And the same thing with all of us as older people, that we live our life with all reverence. One, reverence for God in the sense that we live in reverence, in awe, in respect for God. Then we carry ourselves with such respect as people who represent Christ wherever we find ourselves. Do you see yourself representing Christ before your children? Living a reverent life before your children, before your neighbors, before co-workers, in church, wherever you find yourself? Or we just live anyhow? No, it's not allowed. Dignity and respect is not something that we command. We demand. It's not something that you command and you demand. When a man starts to say, hey, don't you know I'm the head of this house? Don't you know I'm your father? Something has gone wrong. I mean, if you can say that to a two-year-old, don't you know that he's talking? That's a two-year-old. But if you have to be telling a 20-year-old or 25-year-old, don't you know I'm your father? Then something has gone wrong. We have lost some dignity that is making such children to lose respect or to not display respect for us. But God expects us to be able to live our lives day by day in everything that we do with such high standard as representatives of God before the younger generation, so that we become reverent, respectable people, honorable people. Praise God. That people that carry weight. When I was in school, one of the things that, you know, that got me really into, that made Christianity to be appealing to me as a person. I came from a very religious background. Yeah, I wanted to know God and serve God and be used by God and, you know, but not according to knowledge. But when I got to school, I got among Christians. These were people in their probably early 20s, but they carried such respect by the way they live their life that made Christianity to be appealing to me as a person. I don't know about your own experience, but that's my experience. Ever before, I mean, by the time I met my husband, I was around 18, 19, but he was in his, you know, there's 5 years difference. So that means he must have been around 23, 24. But, and people like, so many other people like that. But the way they lived their lives, it was as if they were in their 40s or in their 50s. The kind of respect they commanded amongst people. And that was as a result of their soundness in faith and in love and in patience. Praise God. You may not have all the money as an elder. You may not have the title. You may not have the qualification. In fact, not all of us would qualify to be whatsoever, to be head of departments, to be the directors in our places of work or wherever. But all of us qualify to become sound in faith, in love, and in patience. And that's what brings respect to our lives. That people coming behind us, they can see that we are men and women of faith. Men and women who believe God. Men and women who trust God. Men and women who can pray, who can move and change things. The next generation, they need that more than ever before. They need that. Our children need that. People around us need that to be able to look up to us that we are men and women who are sound. We are healthy when it comes to the issue of faith. When things happen all around us, how do you live your life before your children? Do you sit down and you also discuss Nigerian problem and the hopelessness and the all whatever, and you look as if you don't even know what's going to happen? What do you think we are passing across? But when you rise up as a father, as a mother in the house and say, we believe God, God is going to help us, you are passing a message across that is called sound faith, that your children and people around you will be able to look up to and copy and say, yes, I saw my father. I saw my mother. During the week, do you know one of our children called me? I've not heard from her for how many days. She just called. You know, she called and said, Mom, can you pick up your WhatsApp call? I knew something was wrong because, I mean, it's unlike that particular child not to, there is a way we greet ourselves and we, you know. She just, it was a matter of, you know, just attend to this. I was cooking in the kitchen. I was alone. Then I pick up my phone and said, Mom, I've been having this headache since Monday. I've done all I could do. I've prayed. I've been reading my health food. I've been standing against it. But it's just like this morning in class, everywhere just became blurry. I was not in any way, shape, or manner anointed to pray at that time. I didn't feel, you know, understand what I'm saying? It wasn't as if, like this morning, then when you are prepared to come to service, I was cooking. But I asked her, I said, what do you want me to do? He said, Mom, I want you to pray. So I said, okay. I prayed. I just dropped what I was, and I prayed. I passed across something. I said, you believe that? Then I went back I said, I'm going to send you some scriptures for you to stand on and keep standing and all of that and all of that. I did all that. Then my husband walked in. When he walked in, I said, this is what has happened, but I prayed with her and we believe God. We spoke with her, we encouraged her, and by the time we finished, he said, Mom, I feel better. I'm a lot relieved. Then following day, I called again. He said, you know, I got relieved so much, but when I got to class, they wanted to start putting pressure on us again. because of pressure. He said, I just had to stand against that to say, no, I'm dealing with that. I've dealt with that. You are not putting pressure on me again. That tension is not my portion. That's passing across faith. I didn't feel like doing it. And this is what I'm trying to get across to us. That being sound in faith is not because you are a pastor, but because you just believe God. The word of God that you have been hearing, that you have been listening to, just for you to be able to walk on it and pass it. I mean, practice it. And practice it. Of course, we told her maybe she should use anti-malaria, you know, because she's been exposed to, you know, of mosquitoes and all of that. And she, you know what she said, Mom, I can't even use anti-malaria now because I'm so busy. Maybe I will use it over the weekend. I think that was Wednesday. She said, I will use it Friday. By the time she was using the anti-malaria, it was a matter of, okay, let me just back it up. She was able to stand and also use her faith. The next generation, they need to get this from us. And if they don't get it from us, you and I, they will never get it. They will never get it. To be sound in faith, trusting God. And can I say this? We need to be able to stand in faith for our children more than ever before. Stand in faith for people in our lives more than ever before. All kinds of things are happening. All kinds of challenges. All kinds of issues. We must be able to know God and be able to walk in faith and stand in faith and pass faith to our children and the next generation. And when I say children, I don't mean just your own biological children. I mean everyone around you. Then the next thing he says that brings respect, that makes us to be dignified before coming generations, says sound in love. Sound in love. That is, we have healthy love. To be sound in love means to be healthy. There's some unhealthy love. And there's healthy love. Unsound love, but sound love. Sound love means you are seeking the best. Not for your own gain, not for your own comfort, not for selfish reasons, but you are seeking the best of everyone around you. And you know, the children, people around us, they see it. The younger generation, they see it. There are some things you don't need to say. Just like Paul said, he said, we are epistles that men read. That men read. When you are good to those who are good to you, they are reading it. They are seeing it. When we discuss and fight among relatives and we say all kinds of things, they are seeing us. They are listening. And there's something that we are passing across. Is that the way to do it or not? But we become honorable men and women before whoever is around us. Because we are living our lives and we are making effort to live sound love. And that gives you so much respect. So much respect. Whether they are around you or not, they respect you. They can even almost predict what you will do. That's where it's always, I know my father, I know my mother. In this kind of situation, I know that this is what they will do or this is what they will say. Sound in love. God expects us to increase, to keep working on it. Thank God for what we prayed this morning, that our love will increase, will abound more and more. And I look at that word, why Pastor David was praying, more and more, more and more. That means you don't get to a point as a father to think that, or as a mother, or as a believer, another person to think that, I've done, no. There's room for growth. There's room for improvement. There's room for us to go deeper and to go higher, to increase, to walk more and more in love. The more we live, the older we get, the more sacrificial we should live our lives. The more sacrificial. What are we looking for? What are we eating at our age? If you are over 45, what do you need? What do you eat? If you are eating so much, it will turn to fat. And they are telling us too much fat is not good for us. So it's opportunity for us to sow. It's opportunity for us to give, to affect coming generation. Praise God. And he says, sound in what? In patience. In patience. Sometimes translations say endurance. That is the ability to be able to put up with. Ability to forbear. Praise God. That should be one of the hallmarks of older Christians. Not giving up. Not giving up on people and on circumstances. We must be able to endure. Things are going on around us now. You know, I look at myself. The rate at which everybody is going, it looks as if everybody will leave Nigeria. Hello. The rate at which... And I'm like, who would stay back? Dr. Ariba, in your college, I saw the news. They don't have doctors to train again. You had a convocation last week. And one of their, I mean, the problem in the nation, there are no doctors available to go through training. And what happens? We have just medical officers. Even the medical officers, they're on their way out. In fact, before they finish in school, they're already planning how to go. And it's not only in medical thing. Nurses are going. Bankers are going. Lecturers are going. We're cutting on our nation. But God needs men and women that will stand, that will endure. That will stand and endure. Because no matter what, we are over 200 million in Nigeria. Even if 10 million leave, we are still a whole lot of people. Even if 10 million, even if 50 million, let's assume 50 million in the next maybe 5 years, they leave Nigeria. That means we still have, that's minus the fact that children are coming every week. Dr. Dedeke, pediatrician, always having babies. The ones that are yet to have, they want to have. So the population is not even stagnant. So who is going to stand and hold the fort? So there's so much on us as older people. Not to give up, not to quickly give up in different systems, in different societies, organizations where we'll find ourselves. Brother Julius was just promoted vice principal. God wants you to be able to endure. And as many people that have been promoted, Sister Mercy, I know you went for promotion exams. So in our places of work, in the church, God wants us to be able to stand strong. To stand strong. To endure whatever. In the banking system, one of the reasons why it's so tough, sometimes you want to use the apps, it's not working. What's happening? A lot of IT guys have left. Even the people who are not into IT, they are leaving. Because, the grass is greener on the other side. On the other side. But what are we projecting? What are we projecting? It's unfortunate the way some older people live their lives. Talking about next generation. When one of our children was in the university, she would come home and say, one lecturer would just get up and say, if you find a job that you collect 10,000 or 20,000, when you graduate, you better thank your God. Yes. And she said, Mom, as he's saying it, I'm rebuking it. And I'm saying, no, that's not my portion. My parents have not spent so much on me for me to graduate and go and get a job of 10,000 or 20,000. But I said that to say this. What do we say to people? How do we encourage them? We are older people that people look up to and they see us as, they are believers. In the society, in our homes, what do we say to these younger people? How do we communicate with them? What do we pass across to them? Are we passing hopelessness?
that, you know, this nation cannot work. The body of Christ, church is a scam and all of those things. When we fail to live up to the standard that is expected of us as Christians, then we are passing a message of hopelessness that this thing does not work. Whether we like it or not, that's the message we are passing across. That's the message. The Bible says God expects us to be, as older men and women, to be reverent, to be sound in faith, to be sound in love and in endurance. When you throw up your hands as a father and say you are tired, you know, this responsibility in this home, you know, because that's one of the things that happened to men in our nation. They have become so frustrated that taking up their responsibilities is something else. When you don't do that, then you are telling your son that it's acceptable to be a believer. Like I heard years ago, one father in a particular family would just get up, a believer, and just take his confession. I believe, I believe, I believe. And they will say, we need food in the house. He said, I believe, I believe. I've made my confessions, and he will leave. He couldn't be bothered. Once they change confession, but now they don't even do anything. They just, it's like, okpe lokpe yayi. When they wear good clothes, and someone say, ah, your shirt is fine, okpe lokpe yayi. This, your sandal is fine, okpe lokpe yayi. I got that from Professor Kendi. They are saying, this is my wife. This one is my wife. That one is my wife. That's not an enduring person. For you to be able to sit up, find out, pray, believe God, think as a man in the house. How do we move this family forward? What are the things that we need? What are the things that we need to get? When your children, they see you, when people see you doing that, making efforts, regardless of the all odds, you are passing a message across to them. Praise God. And particularly, Titus was asked to tell the women. He says that we other women likewise, of course, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance. And something was added, that we will not become slanderers, malicious talkers as women. I ran up with this. And this, I mean, this affects all of us. How we use our mouth. What comes through our mouth. What comes through our mouth. Paul says in Ephesians, says, let your word be seasoned with grace. Seasoned so that it will minister grace. Seasoned with salt, Abby. So that it will minister grace to the hearers. There's something about the words that we speak as men and women. It goes a long way. Whether we're going to encourage people or discourage people. Whether we're going to pass across faith, love, and endurance. All of those things, they come through what we say. What we say, how we say it. It's very, very crucial this time and this age. What we say. Yes, the negative thing is, oh, I don't want to gossip. I don't want to be a slanderer. You know, mother people with my words. But not only not doing the negative, but we must consciously and intentionally do the positive. Do the positive. To call people up and encourage them and speak words that will lift them up. We need to do that. They are looking up to us. Don't wait for them to come ask you. Mm-mm. Don't wait for them to come ask you. As fathers, you may not be able to visit your girls, your daughters, or your sons. You may not be able to see them regularly. But pick up your phone. Send text messages. Make sure you do it on a regular basis. So that, you know, it becomes something that they look up to. That, oh, this encouraging word, this counsel is going to come from my father or from my mother or from my grandmother. And they look up to you and it becomes something that they feed on in this godless society where we have found ourselves. So please, I'm begging all of us
that we need to reach out on purpose. Other people, to reach out on purpose. It's so easy to look at everybody and see what they're doing wrong and how they're not doing it, and for us to look back, when I was in that shoe, now, what you learned when you were, God is expecting you to pass it across, to teach. That's what Titus said, that they may teach younger women. Teach younger women. Teach your, that means they will not just know in vacuum. It will not just be conferred upon them how and what to do. Do you know, when I preach on this pulpit, or anybody comes to this pulpit and preach and, you know, say words, that's one level. Another level is for all of us together as other people to be able to do it one-on-one with people around us. I dare say that it's like icing on the cake for whatever comes from this pulpit, when you can approach someone, a younger person, to sit them down, to just hang around them, just intentionally teaching and instructing. Don't say they will not listen. Don't say that. Remember, you are coming with dignity, with reverence of someone who has experience in faith, in love, in endurance. You don't have to say that, but that is a spirit that you're going to pass across. That authority is there. That respect is there in the realm of the spirit. And when you call, when you speak, God is going to back up those words in their lives. We are commanded to do this. That's one of the things that God wants older men and older women to do. This is not something that only pastors can do. There are a whole lot of things that people do in church that we are not even aware of as pastors. I know we are doing this at one level or the other. Some of us, we are doing this, but all of us, we need to get involved. And not just only in church. My emphasis is also about the place where you work, where you spend about 8 hours. Don't just leave those children, those people to themselves. You know, we are having an outreach now, ELN. And some people will say, hey, I don't even know who to invite. I'm still thinking of who to invite. That means, you know, our lives as believers, we live it in isolation. And it's not supposed to be. You're not supposed to. You are not just a believer in church on Sunday morning. You're a believer Monday to Sunday. You're a believer 24/7. And God wants you to project Him, to showcase Him. I round up with this, that same Titus. If you look at Titus chapter 2, when we do all this, something comes to our lives. Something comes from our lives. Verse 9. It says, exhort bond servant to be obedient to their own master, to be well pleasing in all things, not answering, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, to be well pleasing in all things, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That they may adorn. Give it to us in other translations. That verse 10. NLT. Okay. Say, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Attractive. NLT. All right, he's saying the same thing about God our Savior, that they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. Attractive in every way. That's what I saw as a young believer. That Christianity became attractive to me. Not, of course, at that time too, I remember now, at that time too, some people, the way they lived as Christians, I stopped going to a particular fellowship. I won't mention name now. Because the way the other people in that fellowship, the way they handled me, if I didn't know that I had received Christ, I had enough reasons to backslide. I was still at the door, entering. From the experience of some kind of elders, I could well have gone back. But by the experience I got from another set of other people,
Christianity became attractive. And I had to just make my choice. Yes, I got born again in that fellowship, but it was becoming so unattractive. So I just left. And I went to another fellowship. And what I met there became the foundation of who I am and what I do today, by the reason of those people that I interacted with, who were elders, older people in the faith. So how attractive are you making Christianity? What adornments are you giving to Christianity? Paul said we are the epistles that people read. And they are reading us everywhere we go. They are reading us, they are watching us. May God help us to be pointers to Christ more and more in the name of Jesus. May God help us that people will look at us and they will say, I want that Jesus. You know, in our nation today, everybody is born again. Everybody knows Christ. If you make altar call, I attended a program recently. The place was filled up, maybe times two of this place. And after the woman of God preached and made altar call, no single person came out. No single person came out. And I'm like, are we saying that all of these people are born again and growing and going with Christ? But when they made altar call for who wants to get this, who wants to get that, everybody came out. All of us, most people have heard about Christ one way or the other. They have come to know that, oh, Jesus saves. But the people that are followers of Christ, a lot of us, we are making Jesus unattractive. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Amen.